your help indeed comes from him. Amen. The word declares to us that in him we live, move, and have our being. Amen. 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 Father God, we thank you right now that indeed all of our help does come from you. For there are moments where we feel helpless and sometimes even hopeless. But we thank you, God, that in those moments you lift us by your love. And God, we declare that were it not for you on our side, we don't even have to wonder where we would be. We know our lives would be ruined and wrecked and turmoil, and we would be destined for eternal damnation. But because you came, rescued us and delivered us from ourselves and from our sadness, God, we have a new outlook on life, and we have a new perspective with a new destiny. And we thank you for those things that your love has afforded us. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your power, your protection, your provision. We thank you, God. We ask and pray, God, that as we've come in this place, that it not escape our understanding, that we have not arrived at this point, this particular day, without your grace and your mercy. Let us be mindful as we go through this experience of worship that it's because of you that we're here right now. Let it not escape our understanding as well that your blessings on our lives were not deserved nor earned, but because you just choose to be good to us. And God, we thank you even right now that from the opening call to worship until the benediction, God, you're worthy. And even when we leave this place, God, and go our own way, you're still worthy, God. And regardless of the trials that are waiting on us in the days to come, God, you're still worthy. We're going to praise your name. We're going to celebrate you, God, in our lives. And God, we thank you right now that in the midst of what we're going through, you have an assigned word for us on today that's going to speak to us and address our issues, encouraging us to live for you. We ask, God, that you extract out of this vessel all that you have ordained for this day. Use it for your glory and for the edification of this body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can I get a little bit more sound here? Amen. We thank God for his blessings upon us on this day. Amen. How many of you are glad to be in the house of the Lord? That would have been good for last night. But on a Sunday morning, as cold as it is outside, it's a warm feeling in here. Amen. And we certainly thank God for that. To all of you, the Father's children, it's indeed a blessing and a privilege to be able to stand and proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ unto you who are here on today. Amen. Amen. There's not anything special that I'm able to do to convince you, but if you will hear the Holy Spirit, he is able to change your mind and perhaps your heart on today. Amen. I want to call your attention right quickly to the book of Joshua, the 3rd chapter, beginning with verse number 1. Joshua chapter 3, verse number 1. From the King James Version, you'll find these words. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet shall there be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. Verse 5 says, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. You may be seated. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I want to talk from this particular thought, today's preparation for tomorrow's promotion. Today's preparation for tomorrow's promotion. If you don't mind, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm getting ready right now in the present today for what God is about to do and release into my life. Now, if you're really doing that, give God some praise. Okay, we got a few. This really goes in line with what we're talking about in embracing this mantle, this responsibility that God has on our lives and exercising the message. Amen. Today's preparation for tomorrow's promotion. When we look at this text, by the time that we arrive at Joshua, the third chapter, as you can imagine, Israel is a physically weary group. They've had ancestors who have had to remind them of their miraculous escape from Egypt by the blood spread on the doorposts, and then the hand of the Lord causing the parting of the Red Sea. They have endured by now 40 years of wilderness wandering. But I will say that they were blessed, because in that wilderness experience, they had water that came forth from a rock. They had the blessing of shoes that did not wear off and wear out in the wilderness. And God brings them to where he has called them. They've gone through some setbacks because of their own sin. And even now have begun to adjust after Moses leaves the scene. In the book of Deuteronomy, they are adjusting to new leadership in their midst. Sort of like as we've come to this place. They've been hated on. They've been feared, according to the end of chapter 2, because the Lord has revealed to those in the neighborhood that they were coming. They were coming strong. They were coming hard to possess what God had promised to them. They had come to the place where they were coming upon the entrance now into the place of blessing. Sort of like somebody in this room's arrival in 2017. You closed last year having gone through trial and tribulation, having sickness and the loss of some loved one. You had some pain. You had some things happen in your life that you did not ask for, but yet you crossed over into a new year. And with that crossing, you are reminded afresh of the promises of God on your life. I wish I had some help here. They are coming now, and as they have come through all of that trial, all of that tribulation, all of that wandering in the wilderness, just like you now at this point of chapter 3, there is excitement that begins to build in the Israelite camp. They've gone over in chapter 2 and they've sent out spies that have viewed the land and came back with the report that the land was good. What God was getting ready to do was definitely worth their pursuit and their prayers in accomplishing possession. They come to this place of the blessing. for this generation. The generation that had endured much but also expects much. Their appetite for greater and better has now been whet. And someone has seen the place that God has promised and God is favoring them with to enter, to possess, to walk in, and to walk through. In seeking that blessing and that promotion that you just said you're preparing for, the first thing I want you to understand is that this generation of Hopewell believers is special to God. God says to them, or they're in captivity in Babylon in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future and an expected end. You are special to God. Regardless of what you have gone through, you matter to God. You matter to God, and God is taking you somewhere. He has a purpose that's intact for every single one of us in this room who are believers in Jesus Christ. You are special to God. But because you are special to God, you also then have to learn how to be specific with God. 1 Chronicles 4:10, there's a prayer there that's recorded by the man by the name of Jabez. He is specific with God. He says, oh, that thou would bless not my neighbor. I wish somebody would hear me today. But he says, bring the blessing to my address. Find out where I am and bring the blessing all the way to me. He says, bless me indeed. He says, enlarge my territory. Increase my boundary. And then he uses that influence, because many times when we celebrate on that verse, we forget that Jabez really was saying, God, whatever you bless me with, let me bless somebody else with. Let me just pause long enough to tell you, if your prayer is simply for your own personal and your selfish mentality, then keep it to yourself. But if God is enlarging you in this season, it is so that more are included in your circle. But then watch this. He says also, he says that as you're enlarging territory and increasing boundary, he says, keep me from the evil that would cause me to fall. And keep me from the temptation that would lead me after the evil I think of. He says, Lord, I need you to bless me. He is specific in his prayer that the evil might not grieve him. And I will say, there's no magic formula in what he says. If you just read the exact same words, it may or may not work the same way. But the principle of the whole thing is that he asked God for what he knew God was able to do. If I don't see anything else from behind this desk today, if you leave here saying that to yourself and in your spirit, do I really believe God for what God is able to do? I didn't ask you about your neighbor or your boss or your spouse, but do you really believe God for what God is able to do? Let me help you here, because God has done some stuff already in your past that you could not have done yourself. People were trying to, matter of fact, keep you from what God was doing in your life, but he did it anyway. And Paul says, if God is for us, y'all know how it goes. And so Jabez's prayer is important because it gives us the opportunity to see this man being specific with God. And I know sometimes you feel that you should not come before him with any kind of audacity, but let me help you understand. The Hebrew writer says we don't have to come timidly. We don't have to come scared. You do have to come reverently with humility, but he also says come boldly, that you may find help and grace in your time of need. And what I love about this is when you ask God for what God is able to do, God does what you ask him. God granted him what he requested, and his blessing was a blessing to others. So that says to us that this is a very important period in your life, Hopewell, and his individual members. It's a very important period in your life. This is the place of development and maturity. You must be challenged to walk in where you've already been called. Remember Wednesday night, And then you must be prepared to enjoy all the blessings that are still yet to come. Somebody's going to miss this, because after January falls off the calendar, you tear it out of your book, that your commitment to discipleship is going to wane. You made the commitment that you're going to go to the gym, you're going to do all of these things in 2017. But isn't it interesting that when the first month rolls off, how easily all of that stuff we were going to do goes away as well? This is the place and the time for preparation. Anybody want what God has for you? Anybody really going to embrace the mantle that God has in your life? Well, let's look at the text. First thing you're going to do if you're going to be prepared today for tomorrow's promotion, first thing you got to do is you got to depart from a wilderness address. Verse 1 says, Joshua rose early in the morning, and they got up. They removed. One text says that they changed location. They removed from the place called Shittim. Now, what's important about this place, Shittim was their last station before entering the promised land. They move from this place. If you go back to Numbers chapter 23, in Numbers chapter 23, Balaam was called on by a man named Balak. And he had been called to come and to speak cursings upon God's people. And in verse 8, I think it is around verse 8 of chapter 23 of Numbers, the Bible says that his response was, how can I curse who the Lord has not cursed? And how can I defy whom the Lord has not defied? But here is the reality. He sought this man because he knew the power in his tongue, and he needed to publicly disgrace and dishonor what God's people were trying to do so that other nations would leave them alone. Amen. Now, why does that matter for you and I? You and I must remove from our places of Shittim, where people have come to curse us. You know who they were. They're the people that said you weren't going to be nobody. Y'all ain't had nobody like that in your life. People who tried to challenge you when you began to speak concerning the vision that God had given in your life, the calling on your life, there were those that were assigned to come to you, not with a word from the Lord, but a word from the pit of hell to get you to back up, to relinquish, to let go of where God was getting ready to move you. But I love this text because it tells us that Israel got up from that place and moved from that place. And I had to say this to you today, you got to do the same thing. You got to put 2016 in your rearview mirror. You got to put some folk on your Facebook friend list off of your page. You got to get them out of your inbox. Get them out of your text message. Quit emailing them. Quit communicating. Quit calling them and answering the phone when they call you. You got to cut some stuff off. And you got to move from that place of cursing. And not only that, it's a place where Israel sinned before the Lord. Don't you know that they were enticed here to fall into the trap of worshiping Baal? Isn't it ironic that just before God gets ready to enter some of us into the greatest seasons of our lives, the greatest temptation comes just before? You ever noticed in your life that just before you're about to get married, you say you're in love, and then your former boo tell you how much they love you, how much they miss you, and how you don't need to go forward with that mistake? Isn't it ironic that when you put in the 2-week notice at your job to go to better, that your boss tells you, I was getting ready to promote you? You see how that thing works? And isn't it something that how you thought that you were over your hang up and over your vice and over that temptation, and as soon as you're about ready to go into the blessing, there it shows up again. Well, Israel makes a choice. The Bible says very clearly they got up early in the morning and they moved out of that place where they were supposed to have been cursed and proceeded toward the blessing of God. They developed friendship with the wicked. Let me tell you, young people, it is those who really care nothing about your life that will lead you to sin, that will cause you to prematurely mess up what God is about to do in your life. Yes, in the name of fun. Yes, in the name of enjoyment. They will tell you that everybody else is doing it. Amen. Amen. This is the going thing right now. But be careful, because what everybody else is doing, God didn't necessarily call you to do. Yeah, yeah, everybody else may have been cutting their hair, but the Lord said, for Samson, keep yours long. You understand what I'm saying? There are some things in our lives that if we're going to go into what God calls us, are off limits to us as believers. No, no, we don't like to hear that. We like the pastor to tell us that everything is fine, everything is dandy, everything is wonderful right now. No. There are some places the grace of God, yes, will keep you, but you were never designed to be there.
That's right.
Israel moves from the place of Shittim. But then when you depart from the wilderness, address number two, you've got to position yourself at the portal of the promise. Now, they did not leave the place where they were supposed to be cursed and go back out in the wilderness. But watch what they do. The Bible says they go all the way up to the banks of the river. They were about to cross into the blessing, but they don't go over. And I ask myself, why is it that they don't just run from the place in the wilderness? They're already there. Why not just go across? They've already gone through 40 years of waiting. They've already had to go through this wilderness experience. Why is it that when they arrive right there, you can see the other side possibly? Why is it that they go all the way there and they stop? Well, they settle down there, and the Bible says they lodge there. They lodge there without any word for anything else. They arrive at that point and they are commanded to wait right there. This is where we really get in trouble at. That even when we leave from what God has called us to depart from, we come to the place where the blessing is right there in front of us and we want to reach up and grab it. And then the Spirit of God says, not yet. And you say, why is it not yet, God? I'm right here where you told me to be. Well, the process says that even though you're in the right place, is not the right time for possession. You're not ready yet, because there's some things you got to still learn.
That's right.
Even though you're in the right place. Hello, somebody. You're here at Hopewell Missionary Baptist Church, 292 Cemetery Road, January 8, 2017. You know what God has called you to do. You know where God wants you to go. And you're here, and it seems like all you're doing is waiting. I know, why don't he release me? Let me get on up out of here and go and do what I'm supposed to do. Why is it necessary that I be here? Well, you understand the first level of faithfulness is to be in the right position. But just because you're in the right position doesn't always mean you got the right posture. And when you got the right posture, sometimes you don't have the proper perspective. And when you don't have the right posture and the right perspective, you'll never understand the purpose. And that's what God is working on them. He says there are moments in your life where you know exactly where you're supposed to go. It's right there in your sight, your line of vision. But I'll bring you all the way up to it and then tell you, hold up. God, you're being unfair. Well, if he really was unfair, then he would take you and move you out of the place and send you back to Egypt.
Uh-huh. All right.
You do understand that it is a blessing that you could not have afforded yourself just to be able to be at Jordan's banks. There they were. There was no rush to immediate entry. We have to learn to settle and to wait on God for next instructions. How many of you know that there are many, many times in life where God gives you direction in parts? He doesn't tell you A, B, C, and how it connects to D. He just gives you A and B. And when you get to B, you find where you go to C. And then when you get to C, he gives you what D is all about. Sometimes God moves according to his own schedule. And let me help you understand, he has that prerogative. He's God all by himself. He who says that 1,000 days is as but one day, and one day is 1,000, don't you think he knows exactly where you're sitting and how you're waiting on him? All I can tell you is keep waiting. Sometimes, if you really think about it, if God just brought you up to where he was blessing you and let you run on in, it wouldn't be long for something over there is running you back out. Yeah, baby, you just got out of school. You ran and got that job and bought that brand new car that you could not afford. And it wasn't long that those payments ran you back to walking. Sometimes it is in the will of God to let us see some stuff that we cannot yet possess. And I ask myself, why is it that God, you let us see stuff that you don't let us run in and possess? He said, well, that's an opportunity to build your faith.
That's right. That's right.
Your hope, your expectation. And then also for you to understand that I'm in charge wherever you are. They positioned themselves at the portal of the promise, but they didn't go over. Why is it that they did not go over? See, in possession of anything that God has for you, God has a way, God has a standard that we often ignore when it comes to his promises. With God's promises, there are also precepts that keep the thing flowing in the way that it's supposed to flow. Now watch this, because when they arrive at the portal of promise, the reason why they could not go over is because they had to recognize and listen for leadership. Oh, I'm not going to spend no time on this. They had to listen for leadership. He tells us that after 3 days, and I begin to think about if I took 3 days to come before you with a word that you wanted 2 days ago, how upset you would be with me. But here God lets them wait until the conclusion of 3 days has passed. And then the officers, the leaders, go throughout the group. And here's what they say. They command the people that when you see the Ark of the Covenant and the priests bearing it, then you are to remove from this place and go after it. First thing, when you listen for leadership, God will give you signs to follow. They were to watch for leadership. It says the reason why they needed to listen for the leadership, it says because there needs to be a space between you, about 2,000 cubits, so that you can know the way to go. When I looked at this word, to know the way to go, it really says to us that he's talking about a model that you're able to see. What does that mean for us? It says that when the priests went into the water, when the priests went past them, they were able to see them moving and in operation. That says to us as leaders that we have the responsibility to initiate the movement of God's people in a particular direction.
That's right.
If the leader is stagnant, still, then the people must be still. But when the leader begins to move and that model of movement is exemplified before them, they are commanded that when they see that and the things pertain to God, that is their sign to move. It says that. They had to listen for specific instructions. But then he says there has to be a space between them and the Ark of the Covenant. When I really got to this point in this text, I really began to see some things taking place in our nation. And I asked myself, what happened to the space between the things of God and God's people? What happened to the reverence? That space that grandmama and them said, that's God. And there's a way you handle him and you interact with him. He's not your homeboy. What happened to that space in our homes as we teach our children to honor God? See, what it reveals is everybody is ready to go over into Canaan, but there are some prerequisites to your relationship that you got to get right in order to go over. And I know in a few days we're going to have a new person sitting in the White House. But let me tell you, God has always been on the throne. And unless we bring that space, that holy space of reverence back in our homes, let me say this to our churches. We're going to see people sitting on this side of Canaan and not going in. They needed leadership because where God was taking them, they had not gone before. I hope that you do not believe that God is done with our church, done with you as an individual believer, but that there is something else God has in store for his people. They needed leadership because where they were going, they had not gone that way before. The process had never been performed before them. Yes, there was a sea that parted, but that was with a stick standing on dry land. Here they would actually enter in and walk before and hold up the ark of God in the middle of that river. And the people of God would pass over on dry land. They had crossed a river before, a sea before, a body of water before, but not in this fashion. Clearly, the way had to be made known, that they would know the way of this untraveled path and journey. Why is it that it's so important that we listen for leadership? Well, there's some of us in this room that God is going to let you experience and do things that nobody else in your family has ever done. And I know they may be talking you down and talking you out of it and telling you God ain't told you that. But listen, you're going a way that you have not gone before. God is doing things in your life that sometimes based on confusion to you and will upset you if you don't have the right perspective. It says that they're going a way that they had not gone before. Anybody ever get tired of traveling the same old paths? It's time to blaze some new trails. Someone is going to live and work in places you never imagined would be for you. You're going to fill places in ministry that you never thought would be assigned to you. You may serve God in ways and in places that you never imagined. You got to listen for leadership. You got to position yourself at the portal of promise. And you've got to depart from that wilderness address. And the last thing I'll leave with you is you've got to commit to being clean. Verse 5 is very clear. He says to us, Joshua says unto the people with an exhortation, sanctify yourselves. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Here it is. He charges the people of God to sanctify themselves. Here in this context, it is the individual duty of every single believer to set themselves apart. In the original text, there are five stems in the Hebrew language that give us a definition of this word. But here in the transitive or reflexive stem, it says that we are called to show ourselves set apart unto God. In other words, this has everything to do with your public presentation. If you are looking for a job, you pay attention to your dress, your speech, your attire, all of the things about you that would get you that job. So how is it that when we come before the Lord and we talk about going to the next level and experiencing the greater in Christ, that we want to come any kind of way and expect God to bless and promote and give us promotions that we are not ready to experience? Joshua says that if you're going to really honor God in Canaan, you've got to clean yourself up today. Clean your garments. Take care of how you present yourself and avoid defilement from being involved with sinful practices. Oh, if the church would take heart to verse 5, what a different context our relationship with church would be. Can you imagine if every believer left here every single day of our lives and were intentionally focused on being undefiled and clean before the Lord? So that anything that God has for you, you're in place to walk right on into. It's sort of like the person who knew that at some point they would have a visitor to their home. And rather than cleaning their home daily in preparation for what could have been an unexpected visit, they waited until they got the phone call that their guest was on the way. Can you imagine the scrambling and the moving and the hiding stuff, putting stuff in places that it was not intended to be in order to conceal the mess that was in your home? Well, the same principle is true when we think about our Christian lives, that when God reveals to us that in 2017, there is a mantle that I'm introducing you to, and you've got to walk in a way that's going to allow that to flow freely. But then the date on the calendar of God's schedule arrives, and rather than be ready to walk in to your destiny, you're saying, God, I got to run and take a shower right quick. Sometimes our preparation for possession is accomplished with the purging in our presentation. Our life presentation and the removal of those things that displease God says more about our readiness to experience God's blessings than anything else we're ready to do. Because what it says is that I value God where you're taking me and what you're doing in my life over the things that I want even myself. This sanctifier has four parts that you see there on the screen for us today. First of all, it means conforming. You're in place, participating in the word of God. This is discipleship. Amen. Then it's concentrating your mind on God's holiness, his righteousness about him, and his goodness in your life. But not only is it conforming and concentrating, it is connected. We're connected enough to have faith to go where God is taking us that we've never been. And then it is in consecrating, setting ourselves apart for Christ and for his service. It says, prepare yourselves today for the wonderful things of tomorrow. Joshua tells the people that tomorrow the Lord is going to do wonders among you. Will do, complete, accomplish. It is the performance of an activity with a distinct purpose or goal in view. God does nothing by accident. He does nothing just to see what will happen or come of what he has done. If God is taking you into new arenas in this year and in this season of your life, be not mistaken. God has a purpose and a will for those things in your life. He says he will do wonders, the hidden, the great, the hard for us to understand things in our lives. Marvelous miracles, wondrous works, changing the overwhelmed into an overcomer. Amen. Manifesting miracles in miracle-mandated moments in your life. And making sure the poor, P-O-O-R, have plenty to pour, P-O-U-R. Those are wonders that God is performing in our lives. He gives delivery to the distress and brings deliverance to the oppressed. Wonders of God in our lives. Then Joshua concludes, he says that he will do wonders among you. Most of the times when we think about this context, we think of God doing things while we're gathered in this sanctuary, doing wonders among us, and people being knocked to the floor and picked up again. But when I looked at this word very closely, it comes from the Hebrew word cherub, which means the middle, the center, the innermost part, the inner organs, the inner bowels, the inner being. Most of us, when we think about what God is doing, we think about external locations. But here what Joshua is saying is more about internal operations. So what he really is saying to us, that the wonders that God is getting ready to perform are what God is going to do on the inside of all of us. The greatest miracle, the greatest wonder to man should be the fact that he takes a sinful nature and a sinful heart and changes it into a serving, a pleasing, and a loving manifestation. Joshua says the Lord is going to do great wonders in your midst. He's going to open doors in your heart that have been closed because of hurt and because of disappointment. He's going to restore joy in your spirit after sadness and loneliness have reigned. He's going to work a wonder of salvation after all of the things that you've gone through in your life. So I say to you, avoid those things that pertain to instant gratification. For often they are valueless later. This exhortation in verse 5 that Joshua gives speaks to our future. In your tomorrows, God is going to exalt you to things and places before the world's eyes for his glory. But there won't be anywhere that God exalts you publicly before you are privately consecrated. There's not anywhere God is going to take you publicly that you have not been vetted during private consecration. We talked about at the end of 2016, a consecration service. And I think many times we get confused with that because we think that that's some external thing that shows that we know Christ. That's great. But that is where your heart is in those private moments of contemplation and decision. Does the Spirit of God direct your life in every single area? Do you give everything about you and yourself to God in service? Would you put your life in harm's way if need be for the cause of Christ, consecrated unto him? This means that we will trust him and obey him. For there are great things in store for this generation. If you look at the example of Jesus Christ for consecration with purpose, the Bible says he humbled himself, submitted himself, and subjected himself to suffering and shame, but with the expectation of wonders. Because just as he was willing to submit himself, he was exalted. And as the Philippian writer says, and given a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and every tongue confess that he is Lord, That glory awaits us as believers, that we are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Don't you know that the greatest way to be exalted in the earth is to submit yourself as a servant of the living God? We see in this chapter 3 that Israel does go over by a miracle into the promised land. The Bible says that as the priest stood there and the people crossed over, it was on dry land. And the thing we must remember is that when you get into Canaan, everybody's not moving out of the way just because you have arrived. But your preparation today is not just to possess, but it's also to protect. And when you get over into your promised land, don't you know God gives you power to protect everything that he has given to you? Yes, you will have enemies that will try to cause you to back up, but trust the Lord with all of your heart. Amen. It's changing today for confirming tomorrow. What is God changing in your life today? What are you doing that's different in operation that both confirms and solidifies where God is taking you? This was not Shouting Sunday, but I wanted to be very clear starting off the bat that we must consider and ponder in our hearts what God wants from us really. What is it that puts me in the right position to receive the promise of God in my life? What do I need to change? What do I need to alter in order for God to have the freedom to move as he wants? I want you to think about your goals and your dreams. Get them in your mind right now. If there is a particular place that God is calling you to occupy, you need to be focused on that in your mind. You need to put aside those things of yesterday's hurts and yesterday's failures and to wholeheartedly pursue what God is doing in your life. You will soon discover where your real purpose is. And you will also discover where your priorities are. For while we may say that we love God with our whole heart, the way we are operating says that there are other things that have greater importance in our lives. See, Israel could no longer stay where they were. It was either go forward or die. They who had come through 40 years of wilderness could probably say, we've come too far to turn around. Amen. We extend an invitation today. As you get those things in your mind and in your spirit, I want you to write them down in your heart. Maybe it's been a while since you have forgotten what God has spoken to you. We want to lift that up before the Lord. I don't want anybody to leave this place today confused about where they stand in the will of God. There is a purpose that God wants to bring to pass with your life. And folks, we only have a few years to do what God has called us to do, to experience what God has called us to experience. Will you make that decision today? Lord, prepare me today for tomorrow's wonders. Will there be one? I ask you to stand, those who are able.